Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and you tune in today because you're sick of trying every fad diet under the sun and training yourself into the ground without seeing any results. That's why I'm here, to share the most effective ways to eat and train for sustainable and real results.
What's up, legends? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. And today, I'm joined in my house by the man himself, Lachie Rowson. Lachie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Now, guys, you may remember or recognize Lachie's voice from a podcast I did, the Mind Muscle Project, not too long ago, really. Lachie is one of the co-hosts of that show. He's also a co-owner of Creature Fitness.
That's right.
And just a general boss. But for those that have no idea who you are, do you want to give us a quick rundown on kind of what you do and a bit about your history before we get stuck in today's show, which, guys, is going to be about CrossFit, which you've probably seen the title already, which is definitely different than what I usually talk about. But we're going to go into plenty of detail about it and just have a general chat. We're just literally just chilling out on the couch, just hanging out. We've got no structure to the show today, so it should be a bit of fun. But yeah, Lachie, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, bro. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Pleasure.
Look, I think like many people that get a start in the fitness industry started because of some insecurity, which for me was being always into sport and always good at sport, but being very skinny. And that led me to the weight room around like 16, 17. And as a result, I wasn't just the guy to, you know, go on the machine and kind of figure out, like, I had to read every magazine.
Yeah.
I had to read every Men's Fitness. I would pick up the Men's Health, Men's Fitness, Muscle and Fitness, Flex. I'd pick all that up even before I walked into the first gyms. So like the first time I walked in, I had like a program.
Knew everything.
I had like German volume training. I had like all set to go. And it just took off from there. Like, I was obsessed. Like, I was the kid at school. I'd come in with like packed lunches, brown rice, tuna, like all that stuff.
The big water bottle.
Yeah,
big jug.
Everything.
Yeah, right.
And to no avail, like, I barely put on any weight. Because, you know, in the beginning, you cut out all these foods because you think you need the bulking foods. But in the end, you don't actually eat enough food.
Because your calories are too low.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's nothing like that back then. No Instagram. There's barely YouTube. Like, I think I followed a few fitness YouTubers in the beginning, but they don't even have channels anymore. Like, that's how long ago
it
was.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it was crazy back then. It was so different. And then I went to uni, but also started a PT job.
Yep.
So I went to uni for design, but like my passion was really in fitness.
Yeah.
And so I switched my degree from design after 6 months to exercise physiology. Like back then, I really thought it was going to be like a good move, but in hindsight, actually, I think a design degree would have gone pretty well. Like, you could have never seen the world going
it
does now, but having a design, like design skills, is extremely valuable.
As pretty much any business owner now, really, but especially when a lot of your stuff and a lot of the growth, like, and a lot of content is going to come through what it does now, especially if you with your podcast, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Do you guys use Facebook as well?
A little bit of Facebook.
Regardless, any social media now requires design in some way or another.
Yeah. But it was a good experience. I just got to see a whole different side of people that, like, I'm so in the fitness industry now, but it was cool to be in another space just for a small period of time. So I learned a lot back then. I learned that, like, there was a lot of future in digital stuff and a big future in, like, the internet and design, that sort of stuff. Instagram wasn't really a thing back then. But then, so I got actually really bored of bodybuilding stuff. And I think it was bored in terms of, like, I felt like I would finish sessions and be like, that wasn't enough. Or like, I didn't push hard enough for whatever reason. So that is when I found CrossFit. So I had a friend that worked for Vision Personal Training.
Yep.
And he invited me in for a CrossFit session. I actually hated it. So I remember we finished the workout and I ended up doing like chest afterwards. and he's like, you know what? One day, I think you'll enjoy it. And it was not till a year later that I actually stepped into my first CrossFit gym. Again, watched all the CrossFit videos.
Yeah.
Watched like, or read all the articles, watched people on YouTube before I even stepped into the gym. And back then, the only CrossFit gym on the North Shore was CrossFit Active.
Yeah.
And that's the gym I stepped into. And it's just, it was so different back then. Like, before that, you only ever stepped into a gym and it had machines, had air conditioning, had carpet, had everything, right?
Yeah.
But this was like garage like proper garage gym, plates stacked up in a messy pile on the floor, rings hanging from the roof, barbells like on the wall, like just crazy experience.
Yeah.
I still vividly remember it being like, wow, this is so different. Everyone in there had their shirts off. Everyone was covered in sweat.
Yeah.
They just finished a workout. Super intimidating.
Yeah, yeah.
Super intimidating. And I'd already been training for like 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
So yeah, once I got into that, I was pretty hooked. As most people do, they get into kind of dogmas and stuff. They get a bit obsessed. Vegans, keto, all that sort of stuff. I turned to a bit of a CrossFit zealot.
Yeah.
For good and bad. It's always cool to like kind of go way too extreme into some things to kind of pull it back and learn a lot from them. But yeah, then after I competed in CrossFit competitively, there's this thing like called CrossFit Games. I competed at the regional level, so like the Australia Pacific level, 3 times. And it was in 2014, in January, that I opened my own CrossFit gym. So a guy I used to train with there.
Yeah.
He introduced me to a mutual friend. They went to school together. And the three of us decided to open a gym. Just because where we were, we didn't really feel like there were... Look, back then, everyone was opening a gym. So there were a lot of people that owned gyms that weren't really business owners.
Yeah, yeah.
So we decided that...
They were just fitness fanatics that had a gym.
They were obsessed. And it's just the barrier to entry became so low.
Yeah.
Now it only costs 20, 30 grand. And like, you know, you just needed to put your car up and your mom's house and you had a lease, you know?
Yeah.
You had people pouring the door like it was crazy. And so, yeah, in January 2014, we opened our CrossFit gym. Yeah, in Marrickville, Sydney. We actually bought 50% of an existing gym.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, we bought the other 50%.
Okay, yeah.
And then 2 years into that, we opened our second location, which was also buying an existing location. And then a year after that, we bought another location, which again was also an existing location.
Right. So we got 3 locations now?
Yeah. So we actually never set a gym up from scratch.
Right.
Yeah, we bought existing locations.
Okay, yeah. And so they're all CrossFit gyms?
So they were CrossFit gyms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we rebranded them.
Okay.
They were CrossFit Creature. We rebranded it to Creature Fitness.
Yeah.
That was sort of in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And like you're a CrossFit affiliate. So you pay like an affiliate fee.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like 3 or 4 grand. But
per year?
Yeah. Per year. Which is cheap compared to franchise fees, right? Franchise fees, 20, 30 grand, some of them.
Yeah.
So we're sort of letting those affiliates run out.
And does every gym that claims to be a CrossFit gym have to have that license?
Yeah, so if you
or they're meant to.
Yeah, so if you use the word CrossFit in anywhere on your website, on your advertising, your branding, you have to be an affiliate. If you're not, they'll sue you.
Yeah.
Or they'll send you a cease and desist.
Mm-hmm.
So the main advantages back then obviously is like having CrossFit in your name was really good because everyone was searching for it.
Yeah.
And then it was also good because if you did compete in CrossFit, which a lot of people did at the time, they kind of had like these rules around how you could submit scores and how your members could submit scores. And they made it really difficult if you weren't an affiliate. Like you could still do a workout in Fitness First and submit your score
to the CrossFit Games.
But they made it extremely difficult for you if you weren't an affiliate. So it just became easier to be an affiliate. But what a lot of people don't know is they didn't. So like if you buy a franchise, right, if you drop 250 grand on a franchise, you expect them to give you the book of how to be successful.
Yeah,
right? They give you the handbook to success.
Handbook, yeah.
You just open that thing, you just read through, you know, page step 0 to 100.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like how you should make money.
Yeah.
CrossFit give you none of that.
Yeah.
They just take your 4 grand, they say good luck.
Yeah.
And that is why so many opened but so many closed.
Yeah, I think, and we'll get into this soon, but I think that is also why a contributing factor to why CrossFit got a bad name pretty early, because of the fact that it got saturated real quick and there was just some shit coaches and shit gyms and like any form of training, there's like shit bodybuilding coaches, there's shit basketball coaches, you know what I mean? But because it was like I guess a bit of a fad at the time, and you know, some of the programming and the coaching probably wasn't great, which is probably what led to, like I said, that stereotype of CrossFit not being great. But before we get into a bit more specific with CrossFit, so you've got the 3 gyms. I did mention the Mind Muscle Project now. So, and guys, I'll have the link to all of Lockie's social media stuff and also his podcast in the show notes, because it's a really, really, really valuable podcast. As I mentioned, I was a guest earlier in the year and it was really fun. And, you know, I've been keeping up with all the episodes and going back through some past ones as well, and you've had some pretty awesome guests on.
Yeah.
So what, for those that are listening, what is your podcast kind of about? Like what can they expect?
Yeah, we started it. The first episode we ever did was because we ran a nutrition challenge at our gym, and we wanted to get like a nutrition expert to come on and talk more about nutrition to add some value to the course. Yeah. And his name was Shannon Brenton. Still a really good bloke.
Probably still is.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Things could change. Never know. And he volunteered his time. He came in. He spoke about just general nutrition myths and answered our questions. And at the time, man, I think Joe Rogan hadn't even done 100 episodes. And I was listening to him. And so this, I mean, he's like 1,600 right now.
Yeah.
Or something. Something crazy. Maybe he's over... No, he's not over 2,000.
I'll have a look while you keep going. Yeah.
Anyway, some absurd amount of podcasts. But, you know, we listened to Joe Rogan well before he was mainstream. And I just loved podcasting. I thought it was just such a cool way to just have something different coming in to music. And obviously the
radio sucks. 1,311.
There you go. Yeah, so I listened to him before he hit episode 100, which is like just crazy. And I think the other only fitness show out there that was really good was The Paleo Solution.
Okay.
Did you ever listen to that?
No chance.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good. Yeah, Rob Wolf. Yeah, I've had him on the show. He's okay. Yeah, and back then, obviously, paleo was massive, right? It was taking off, so he was getting like 100,000 downloads an episode.
That's insane.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah, and what, if you don't mind me asking, what are you guys getting on like a popular show? How many downloads are you looking at?
Yeah, so like some of our, well, we do 3 shows a week.
Yeah.
So we do an interview, we do what we call the after show, which is where Raph, my co-host, and I, we just answer questions from the listeners. And then we do a show on the last show of the week on Fridays in the black, which is like where we just talk about business.
Yeah.
Because as we got more and more into business, we felt like we just needed a show to talk about business so we didn't annoy everyone else on the other shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Always
That's
talking
good.
About business. So that's quite split.
Mm.
Depending on the size of the guests.
Different audiences.
Yeah. So to give you an idea, you've got about 20,000 downloads
in
your show. Other guests, depending on how big their names are, will get like 60,000 if they got a really big name, some of our biggest shows. Some like we've had the CrossFit Games champion on, Matt Fraser. He got like 100,000 downloads. But then, not to make you feel bad, bro.
You already have, but it's okay.
But the after show is gaining a lot of popularity. So that's getting like 10,000 to 15,000.
Like a Q&A downloads. Style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best part about what I like about this, and we've been talking about this over the weekend, is like it's more sustainable. You don't always have to get someone on. You can just kind of shoot your shit.
And I find as well, like, the reason why they get so many most of the time is because like you're genuinely answering someone's question that's asked you a question and they want to know the answer. Exactly. Whereas like, you know, you could have an amazing guest on, but in the end of the day, there may not be that many people that really care.
Yeah.
Like they might be someone that seems awesome to you, but then majority of your audience may be like, well, whatever. I'd rather find out about whether or not I should eat fucking carbs after 6 p.m. Right. or whatever it is.
Yeah. Funny because we're not our audience, and that's what you forget sometimes. And so when I have a really good show, and you've had this experience this as well, right? It's not always doesn't always sit as well. It's not as well received by the audience as how good you thought it was.
Exactly right.
So it's always that's always interesting.
Some of the shows that I've expected to do best have been flopped.
Yeah.
And there's episodes where I'll even, you know, contemplate whether or not I should even release it that I've recorded on my own and they've just gone bananas.
Right.
So, like you said, you're not your audience. So, and that's why I think it's really beneficial to actually ask your audience. Like, I don't know whether you guys do it, but I often put up like an Instagram story and say, you know, what do you actually want to hear about? And then just screenshot all the answers. And then when I'm stuck on a topic, I'll go back through and see if I've answered it before. If I haven't, then I'll make a show on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what we do on the after show. We just say, listen to questions, and we get somewhere between 5 to 20 questions every week.
Yeah.
And we just kind of pick the best ones, and we answer them.
Mm.
And then, in the black, it's the smaller show, but it's because they're such specific business topics, the people that are listening to them are either business owners or they are like in the fitness industry making money somehow. So, that gets somewhere between like 5 to 8,000 downloads.
That's crazy.
But they're a very engaged audience. Yeah, so I do like them. Yeah, I do like them a lot. But look, we started the show, just kind of off that first cusp. And then a month later, we had an opportunity to interview like an American weightlifter.
Yeah.
That had his own podcast that we listened to. And he came in, he sat down, we shot the shit. It was really good. And he just said, you know what? If you really are serious about this podcast, you need to commit to one a week for a year.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to do it? Yes or no? He asked it on our show.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're like, okay, we'll do it. And so we felt like at the time, even though it was 50 people listening, probably less, you know, we're committed.
You held accountable.
Yeah, we did it. And then we just ended up never stopping for 5 years.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was pretty similar. Like, I said it to myself when I started. I said, because I knew as well that everything takes time and consistency eventually pays off. And I'd seen it with like other parts of my business already. Right. And I was like, you know what? Like, podcasting is not that popular yet. There's not really many fitness shows. Not that many people are even listening to podcasts. But I'm just going to get content on the platform,
right,
and eventually people will listen. And eventually, when they do listen, there's going to be a fuckload of content for them. So right. I was the same. I was like, at least one episode a week, every week,
right,
since I started. And you know, and now it's just starting to gradually pay off now. But then, but when a listener does subscribe now, it's not like there's like 25 episodes over 3 years because I just couldn't be fucked or no one was listening. It's like there's hundreds of episodes because you're consistent, even on the weeks when you felt like it wasn't going to be really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So, all right, so we know a little bit about you now.
Yeah.
And if you want to know a bit more about Lockie, maybe I'll give you his number at the end of the show, or I could just put his Instagram in the show notes. Yeah. But what we're going to talk about today, we've already touched on it a bit already, is CrossFit. So how I want to do this, Lockie, my man,
we're going to start with a CrossFit workout, right?
Yeah, you will, and I will sit here and do not much. Yeah, yeah. I want to get you first to basically just give, like, in the shortest way possible, a description of what CrossFit is, and then I'm kind of going to talk about what I think about
your perception of it.
What I think about CrossFit, and also like what I think some listeners may think about CrossFit, and I want you to kind of go into some detail after that about why those perceptions may be wrong, and also your experience with it. So firstly, give us a very brief description in your best words of what CrossFit is.
Well, I'll do two things for you. The first one is how CrossFit marketed themselves, which was... Fuck, I don't think I'm going to remember this. It is...
Surely that's a prerequisite before you bring that up.
It's like varied movements across broad time and modal domains, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, so that's definitely wrong, but basically that extrapolated into real terms for the public is CrossFit uses the widest variety of movements across the widest variety of time domains at all varying intensities. The truth is how CrossFit ended up playing out in gyms is far less like that. So obviously to fit, you know, an hour class in, you can't do the longest time domains. You can't do 2 hour time domains. It just doesn't make sense. But if you were training CrossFit by yourself, essentially you could be doing anything. And that's kind of the whole approach of it. Fitness at the time, in the mainstream, it was very, very specific. It was like body parts, isolation, split routines. Yeah. That was the most popular thing, right? Arnold launched bodybuilding into the mainstream.
Mm.
And CrossFit was kind of the antithesis of commercial fitness.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, we're going to throw all the aircon out. We're going to throw out the clean bathrooms and the 24-hour stuff. And it's going to be hardcore. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be sweaty. And it's just going to be completely different. The game's completely changed now. We can get into it later, how I see it playing out in the future. But that is definitely how it started.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And like you said before, like before it, there was pretty much just lifting. Lifting or your Les Mills classes, pump, bit of body balance, boxing and stuff like that. But there wasn't really anything else. And it's funny, like before you said, you know, obviously CrossFit had already started, but you were starting to feel with your training that you just like weren't feeling like you were doing enough. And you know, to be honest, like I come from my background is obviously like a lot of sport. Yeah. So like, even though I love the gym and I always did, well, when I started, I hated it, but then I liked it pretty much straight away. But like, even then, conditioning, like cardio, like hard really, cardio. Yeah, like cardiovascular work was like, probably my favorite style of training because I just loved that feeling.
What's your favorite style of training?
Yeah. I love the weights, but like, just, you know, just like absolutely pushing myself beyond my limits with like lactic acid training or like threshold training. I just love that shit. So, you know, theoretically, like CrossFit is like the perfect combo for like what I like to do.
Right.
But anyway, so I guess I'll quickly go into what I thought about CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what I think about it now.
And tell me what gave you...
And I think what I thought about CrossFit is probably like what a lot of people think as well. Because I'm sure there's people listening now that are, you know, people that just fucking love CrossFit.
Right.
And there's probably some that hate it.
Yeah.
And there's another group of people that don't even know what it is. And there's one more group of people that fucking hate it, but don't even know what it is. They just hate it because everyone else hates it, or they think that it's shit.
They're on the bandwagon.
Yeah. So when it first started coming out, like, and to be honest, I didn't really look into it too much. I just, you know, kind of, as you said before, anyone that was doing CrossFit, like, you knew that they were doing CrossFit because it was like the thing. It was like the, I'm not going to say a fad, but it was like the thing to do. And people that were doing it, it was almost like cult-like.
Yeah, 100%.
It was like cult-like. So if people that weren't doing it, you're just like, fuck, I'm sick of hearing about this shit. But from the outside in, like, looking at it initially, like, things that you would pair with CrossFit is obviously, like, injuries came up a lot. Shit form. Shit form on exercises. Fucking burpees is one thing that came to mind for me. Like, just... Yeah. Those are kind of the things that you pair with it straight away. So in my mind, straight away, like, without even really knowing what it's like, I'm just like, oh fuck, I don't like CrossFit. Like, why would you do this style of training? And then I think as well, like, for people that were getting into it initially, because it was so cult-like, it was like, once they did CrossFit, like, there was no other style of training. Like, my style that I was doing, which was the strength training and then conditioning separate, it was all, like, all of a sudden, like, people that were doing CrossFit just thought that that was like, other training didn't exist anymore. It was like, it's either our way or the highway. Like, your way is just shit.
For sure.
It's kind of like, you either do this or you don't.
Right.
Type of thing. You know, fast forward to now, like, my honest opinion of CrossFit, and most people, some people probably be surprised, I guess. I don't know why, but, you know, look, I think CrossFit done well is an exceptional way of training. Like, if you look at the CrossFit Games, they're like the most unbelievable athletes in the world. It's fucking incredible how all round they are as an athlete. And now, even having done some CrossFit sessions myself and knowing people that do it, like yourself, and I've got other friends that do CrossFit and at a high level and are really fucking good at it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coached properly, if you perform well under fatigue with good form because you have been coached properly, and there is actually a method to the madness, there's a method to the training, and there's still components of it that allow for progressive overload and stuff like that, I think CrossFit's awesome. There's not one bad thing I could say about it. And I just think, like anything else, as I said at the start, like, if you have a PT who doesn't teach good form, then your PT session is just as dangerous as the CrossFit session. I think the only problem is, and it's getting better now, but initially as well with CrossFit, is that it was so saturated, there was so many CrossFit gyms because it was the thing to do.
Yep.
That when you have that much volume of gyms, you're not going to have that many fucking superstar coaches quality coaches. And then that leads to, you know, poor form. And of course, your risk of injury is going to be much, much higher. And, you know, I think as well, we also spoke about it a little bit earlier. I think we touched on this, or maybe I'm just making this up in my head. But, you know, for someone that walks in off the street and thinks that CrossFit's just a group fitness class, you're completely wrong. Like, there's lifts in there. And this is a problem that I had with it early on, is there's lifts in a CrossFit session that some people take like 6 to 12 months to learn,
and they're doing the technique,
and they're doing it on day one,
Olympic
under fatigue.
Yeah.
So I think that I haven't really gone into CrossFit in terms of doing it myself to know whether or not like someone does just walk in off the street for their first session and then be expected to do that stuff, or I'm sure there's progressions and all that type of stuff. But I think, yeah, that's kind of like my view on it now, having done a little bit of it and obviously looking into it a lot more and knowing people that are in that scene and stuff like that. So that's, I think, what I thought about it is probably what a lot of people still think about it.
Yep.
What I think about it now, I think, like I said, awesome style of training. I still, in the end of the day, like, I just prefer to do kind of traditional resistance or strength training and do my conditioning separate. But... you know, in saying that as well, like, there's workouts that I'll do that they may not be, you know, classed as CrossFit, but they basically are.
Right.
Like, I'll be doing a heavy compound lift with some, like, explosive accessories and some conditioning and do it in a circuit-style training. Like, that basically is CrossFit to an extent. So,
No, it's interesting. Like, I
that's kind of my view anyway.
I think what you're saying there is really fair, but I'm actually more critical of CrossFit than you. Like, people might be surprised to hear that for the large majority of what CrossFit is, I really don't like it. And that's because if you really talk about what CrossFit is, because it's so measurable, right? They took the gym and they decided to make quantifiable and measurable, right? They made the squat. You have to squat below parallel for the rep to count, right? You have to lock your elbows out and push your head through for the rep to count, right? Yeah. So all of a sudden, they started making ranges of motion of gym movements a sport, right?
And which for those that know enough about resistance and strength training is just some people just don't have the range of motion. Exactly. Or some people, even if you give them as mobile as possible, they're structurally just never going to be able to safely put themselves in that position.
Right, and that is exactly where the problem lies, right? Is because now all of a sudden, it's not about, okay, how can we get to the optimal ranges of motion? Because everyone knows, listening to this, you want to move through the broadest range of motion as possible, right? That's how you express movement. The best movers in the world have the fullest ranges of motion and are strong in those ranges of motion. Now, if you set a standard for someone on day one that they can't meet because of, you know, just general restrictions they've had in their life from poor lifestyle patterns, head forward position, roll forward position, sitting too much, right? Shortened hamstrings, just wearing poor footwear, so like shortened Achilles, all this stuff. They come in with all these poor mechanics and you go, this rep doesn't count until you squat below parallel, and they can't, right? So how will they get down there? Well, they're going to use...
Overcompensate.
They're going to use poor mechanics, and most likely they're going to add load to that because they're in a competitive environment.
Mm.
And that is how the injuries happen, is because people are forcing ranges of motions that they don't have, and they're adding intensity to it because they're trying to beat the person next to them.
They're trying
to win at all costs.
Yeah.
And that is not how you're supposed to train for training. That's how you play sport, right?
Yeah.
But that's not how you... Like, people go to the gym. The gym's supposed to be the safest place in the world, right? It's the place where you build yourself up to go out into life and crush life.
Yeah.
But if you're breaking yourself down so much that you suck more at life...
Crushing spine in the gym and sucking at life outside.
You did it the wrong way. And that, unfortunately, is what happened with CrossFit. All of a sudden, people were getting more hurt in the gym. And that's not what gyms were originally built for. That was the opposite. People were coming in to fix themselves from the shit they did outside the gym.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of issues on what I saw from just all the other gyms that were out there pushing the sport, especially if the owners of the gym were in the sport of CrossFit, they would place those competitive values upon their members and then put it in their programming. As a result, a lot of back issues, a lot of shoulder issues, a lot of surgeries, knee surgeries. I had a lot of knee issues from competing in CrossFit as well. It's just too much volume.
Yeah.
Way too much volume. The only people that ever did well in CrossFit were people that came in, they already had some kind of sporting background.
Yeah.
They had good mobility. They had resilient tissues, so usually they were quite young, or they've been doing some kind of strength training for a long time. And so it's kind of like doing the same thing, but more.
Yeah, and it comes down, again, like I said before, is that like strength training in general is a skill.
Yeah.
Like something even like a hang clean, and that's not even as technical as it gets in CrossFit. Like it took me like 3 to 6 months to learn the hang clean, like efficiently enough that I was comfortable to do it properly, knowing that my form was right. And that was like the first lift of a session. That's not after I've just done 10 minutes of conditioning and I'm gassed.
Right. Yeah. So I was talking to you about this today, and you were mentioning like you're so busy at your peak times that you're having to start in a group clients together.
Yeah.
So you're doing like semi-private, right? If you get like 10 people, you basically got a group.
Yeah.
You basically got a group class, right? That's how CrossFit started. The founder, Greg Glassman, right, was a really good PT. So he was training clients for years on squatting and pressing and overhead squats and all these complex movements. He was a gymnast, so he taught them ring work and that sort of stuff, handstands. But he taught them one-on-one, taught them in PT.
Yeah.
Right? He spent hours and hours with people one-on-one to fix their mechanics and individualize sessions so that they did it appropriately. So he did it right from the start. But he needed to make more money. So how to make more money? Exactly what you did, right? Group. Started grouping people together so that 1 hour of his time was worth more money. Now, as a result, he gets a lot of popularity, right? More people want to see him. So he's like, oh shit, why not just make more groups? But it started with PT. But to scale it, he couldn't spend years training people one-on-one. He had to scale it quickly, which meant let's just start in the group. And that's where the problem happened.
Yeah.
Is that how he originally did it was PT into group because they were complex movements.
Yeah.
But in order to scale it, for it to be popular and mainstream, had to go straight into group.
Yeah.
Right? They missed the PT part. Now,
there's no foundation that's been built first.
Right. So that is what we do at our gyms, is you have to do PT. You have to meet standards before you can come into class.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's what we developed over time, is a system basically. And, you know,
we use different movements from like stuff that's outside of CrossFit now as well, all kinds of strongman stuff and movement based stuff as well. And you have to meet standards before you can come to classes.
Yeah.
So that when you come into a class, we know that you're going to be safe and you're going to be confident, you're going to know what you're doing, and your injury risk is way lower. Like,
yeah.
You would never put anyone in that group environment, I would assume, well, at least not on a movement that they hadn't
that wasn't
before.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
And that's the same idea. But everyone did it the opposite. They were like, cool. Everyone's Googling CrossFit right now. It's the most Googled fitness term on the internet. People are just pouring into gyms. So this one gym, so it really depended what your CrossFit name was. But one gym was called CrossFit Sydney, right? So you can imagine how many people were Googling CrossFit Sydney.
Yeah, fuck.
At one point, it had over 1,000 members. And they had, so in one peak hour, so they basically ran classes at the same time. So they would have gyms split up into the, in four sections, right? They had the warm-up section, they had the strength section, they had the conditioning section, and the cool-down section. And they would run classes on 15 minutes. So they would just pump people through that. In a whole peak period, they would pump over 500 people through in an afternoon. From like 3 o'clock to like midnight, oh not midnight, sorry, like eight, 9 o'clock.
That's fine.
500 people doing CrossFit, like that's absurd, absurd. That's how popular it was at the time. Now they would be lucky to get, you know, 80 to 100. Like that would be a really good day.
Died right off.
It died off massively. A lot of gyms have closed around me. Like since man, since we've had our gym 5 years, has been, I could have, I need more than two hands to count the amount of gyms that closed near me.
Yeah.
I was telling you in
2000... I got two if you need.
Yeah, we got two.
We got four together.
Right, we're going to need five.
Right, fuck. We'll call someone up.
In 2013, the amount of gyms in Australia peaked. It's now 2019. We have the same number, slightly less gyms than we had in 2013. So that just shows you how quickly it rose and then how quickly it shrunk as well. Because anything that gets hot fast gets cold fast.
Mm.
And that's what happened with CrossFit. So man, like the future for CrossFit gyms is they have to do PT just
beforehand.
I think the sustainability of any gym,
so what's the okay, give me an eye. Okay, a good CrossFit gym, let's say that they don't do the PT, okay, just
so
saying
not a good CrossFit gym.
No, well, not a good CrossFit gym, but when you're talking about CrossFit gyms, a lot of them aren't, so maybe it is a good CrossFit gym, they just don't do the PT yet.
That's the first sign for me, is PT one-on-one
for you.
Yeah, that's what I that's what I think all CrossFit gyms should have,
but not all do.
No.
Okay. Let's skip the whole PT thing, right?
Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm just talking about a CrossFit gym that's relatively well known. They've got good coaches.
Okay.
What is the experience for someone that's walking in for their first time?
Well, it's going to vary. It's going to vary dramatically because CrossFit's an affiliate, which means that there's no...
There's no rule
book. There's no global standards, right? If you go to a franchise, you have to... X has to happen, right? The admin person has to say... this opening line.
Yeah.
The setup has to be a certain way. The bikes have to face a certain way. It has to be this many mirrors, this much chalk in the buckets, right? In CrossFit, do whatever the fuck you want, right?
Yeah,
you
can
just be running yoga and you can have swim classes on the side and you can be doing jump rope and boxing. You can all call it CrossFit.
Yeah.
So there are no standards across the industry,
right,
which is the issue. So it is fucked for the consumer. Can I swear on this?
Fuck no. Yeah, you can.
It's fucked for the consumer because they come in and their friend, say, in another city, might be at a great CrossFit gym.
Mm.
And they're like, it's awesome, you got to try it. And so they go...
It's a different experience for the next person, yeah.
And they go in, and it's a terrible experience. Because there's no consistency. It's the same way as... It's why we like franchises, right? Because if you have a good experience at a franchise, you know when you go into another city, if you want a poke bowl, and you don't know the independent pokes in the street, but you see the franchise, you go, okay, I know it's going to be good. Because it's going to be like the one back.
Similar, yeah, yeah.
That's not how CrossFit is.
Yeah.
And that's what really hurt its name. Other CrossFit gyms were hurting the reputation of other CrossFit gyms. That's why we had to take it out of our name. Because a person down the street wrecked 15 people and those 15 people went into their networks.
They associate you with them.
Yeah. They told 10 people. That's 150 people that now know CrossFit Cerebral. If we've got it on our sign out the front, if we've got it on our schedule and our program, people think... So they think it's just a commodity.
Yeah, yeah.
They think it's all the same. They look at it and they go, well, I'm not going there. I heard it was shit.
Mm.
And so we don't even get a chance to say what we're like.
Yeah, exactly right.
So it's interesting.
So what do you think, where do you think CrossFit's at now?
Well, for those people that don't know anything about it, they basically gutted the CrossFit Games. So the CrossFit Games is like...
They're done.
Yeah, well, so you know, you have watched it on Netflix and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they cut that entire media team. You'll never see another CrossFit doco on Netflix.
Why?
So what happened was the CrossFit Games lost a lot of money for the business of CrossFit. CrossFit HQ, the CrossFit, the affiliates, and all the other stuff that they do, makes heaps of money, right?
Tons
of cash.
So.
Yeah. But the CrossFit Games lost heaps of money, like for whatever reason, when they put on the regional events and these massive events that cost millions of dollars, like not that many people show up to them anymore. They pay heaps of people, like media staff, and they fly people around the world. It lost them heaps of money. And this is the problem with CrossFit, right? The Glassman, the guy running it, it's a huge company. They're supposed to have a board of directors, right? So that when something gets so big, it's not down to one person, just has a bad day, walks in and goes, ah, you know what? Fuck this. Let's get rid of this whole thing.
Yeah.
That's literally how it's run. So it's run very... It's kind of like a dictatorship almost.
Yeah,
that's what... You know, we know a lot of people that have worked for them and on the inside and stuff just through the podcast. And like he came in... You ever seen that... you ever see that episode of Entourage where Ari comes in with the pelican?
I haven't seen Entourage. Oh, I've only seen the movie.
Bro. Anyway, so Ari Gold, you know, the crazy guy. In this one episode, he comes into this office and he has like a Nerf gun.
Nice.
And just starts shooting people and firing them.
Mm. And that's, firing them?
Bro, that's essentially how it happened. Like, it's legit happened.
That's pretty fucked.
So, fired over the course of a month, they lost their entire CrossFit game staff, like the majority of it, which is, it's like 50 or 60 people that have been with them for over 10 years.
That's out of control.
Nuts.
Right, so...
So, that got cut.
That's fucked, yeah.
So, the whole sport thing has basically taken a huge hit.
So, now it's almost just like a style of training.
Yeah, so now he's doing a really big push because it's hit saturation and now it's going down in North America and Australia and the UK. He's pushing really hard in Brazil. 500 million people in Brazil, if people didn't know that. It's a shitload of people. And in China.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting market to tap into.
Mm, very.
Yeah, but he's getting a lot of success there in China. Well, there's a lot of money in China, right?
Yeah.
And there's obviously like a pretty relatively unhealthy population. They got a lot of obesity and diabetes and that sort of stuff. So he's making his push there. But again, he's very like, he's just got this, he's an egomaniac, right?
Yeah.
Did you see what happened to all their social media?
Yeah.
Cut the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like 11 million followers that he just cut, you know, after years of
building. Very sporadic.
So, It's a blurry future.
Yeah, it doesn't look ideal at the moment, does it? Yeah. So for someone listening, because there will be people that have like I said, that just have an impression of what they think CrossFit is, but don't actually really know what it is. So, you know, give us this might kind of take us close towards the end of the show, but I want you to basically run us through from warm up to cool down an example. I know I didn't really give you any heads up on this one, so you're going to have to come up with it on the fly. But an example of kind of like warm up. Through the whole way through a session to cool down, what a typical session may look like.
Well, it could involve a lot of stuff, but for someone listening that wants a really well-rounded experience of CrossFit, the three main modalities that you'll touch on is body weight training, so burpees, squats, box jumps,
pull-ups and stuff, pull-ups,
that sort of stuff. I mean, you could call it, I don't like calling it gymnastics because gymnastics, most people think of like handstand, the sport. Ring work, that sort of stuff. Yeah, that comes later, but not unless you're kind of really advanced. Would I recommend gymnastics body weight. Straight away? So like body weight training.
Yep.
And you get like barbell training, so you get like your powerlifting, Olympic lifting.
That's kind of your strength training. Component.
And some variations of that. And then you'll get like sort of what I call just conditioning, which would be like your rowers, your bikes, your running. There's a lot of running in CrossFit.
Yeah.
And skipping, stuff like that.
Cool.
So what I would like to see for a warm-up, now, this is what we do at our gym, and I know a lot of gyms do similar stuff and followed since, is some kind of priming, like activation rehab work. So general warm-up, like just get body temperature up, and then you're looking at just taking the joints for a full range of motion. If you're doing squats, it's like, you know, priming your glutes, doing hip stability work, banded work. I've seen you post this sort of stuff before.
Yeah.
Just general priming stuff for people. Open their hips up. They've been sitting at a desk all day.
Mm.
So just like kind of doing some banded stretches, that sort of stuff. But we like to keep people moving. And then strength work, we like to see some balance between a superset of, because remember, you've got to think that these people might only be working out for 3 to 4 hours a week, sometimes less.
Yeah.
So if they're not feeling like they're going to get a complete workout here, they're going to go somewhere else. They're going to do extra, do their own thing, right?
And so the first component is the bar, like the strength training component, usually?
Yeah, usually. So... do some kind of squat, press, pull potentially.
Yeah.
And then superset that with a bodyweight movement. So that could be like a bent over row, or it could be a pull up or a ring row or something. Sometimes it's some handstand stuff, just depending on the class. But most of the time, you will get an exercise, which is sort of the opposite of the
opposing muscle group or movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I know like a lot of people that do split training that might listen to this, they might only focus on one body part. So the superset with bench might be like tricep extensions or something, right? So if it's a push, it might be a pull. If it's a press, it might be like a vertical pull.
Yeah.
If it's a squat, it might be a deadlift, a hinge, that sort of stuff.
Mm.
That's your strength work. That usually, now if it's, we've always made the mistake of doing too much volume in that. I would much rather, and people always associate more with better.
Yeah.
I would much rather coach three incredible sets.
Especially with strength training.
Especially.
And that's something that's like, I'm sure you would know the exact same feeling, but that's a very hard thing to be able to get someone to buy into, is that the fact that quality, like I'm talking the best quality that you can possibly produce, quality sets far outweighs volume. When it's done properly, because the volume is never going to be as high a quality, and that's something that I learnt pretty early on from a friend of mine and past guest of the show, Christian Woodford. I don't know if you've seen his stuff. He's a strength conditioning coach, and you know he was just anal about perfect every rep. Every rep is exactly the same. Should look and feel the same. Should be the perfect rep every rep. We'd be doing RDLs with like 40 kilos when I would usually use 70 or 80.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to like 8 reps, I was just absolutely cooked because I'd given every single rep like 100%.
Yeah.
And then I'd be sitting down on the floor doing my ability for like 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas most people would be sitting there going like, I'm wasting my time, or this is lazy, or I'm not working hard enough and stuff like that. But and another one is Austin Current, who's past guest of the show as well. And I mentioned you to him before, and he's worked with Ben Pekulski.
Right.
And Ben Pekulski is huge on like how much more most people could be getting out of their training by doing far less, but doing everything properly.
Much better, yeah.
And when he starts with a client, the first thing he does is strip them right back to like next to no volume.
Yeah.
And it's pure quality. And their results just like blows people away because for once they're actually doing something efficiently and using the muscles they're meant to in a way they're meant to, which then increases energy expenditure, helps with muscle growth, and all of a sudden you can get so much more results with far less output.
Oh yeah, exactly. So right, what I'd add on to that as well is that you get to know yourself better if you put more mental energy into movement.
Mm.
People that try and switch off, that's a big thing with exercise, right? So people say they come in to switch off.
Yeah.
But I say you should come in here and switch on.
Yeah,
because if you learn to move better, right, people are going to look at you completely differently. Like when you see good movement, it kind of catches your eye, right? It's like it's just something genetic, something inherent about good movement. Of just someone connecting their joints, like that sequence of muscles firing, just having that beautiful synchrony. That's what you want,
right?
And you don't, and when you have that as well, not only are you going to know your body better, you're going to like be able to protect yourself from injuries more.
100%.
A lot of people that switch off, they don't know they're going to get themselves injured. We've been doing this so long, right? We're so switched on when we're lifting. Like we can tell even if the slightest thing is off. I could injure myself today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull back. Or I'm going to change something, stretch something out. If you don't have that intuition because you're purposely switching off when you come to the gym, you're going to set yourself up for an injury for sure. I see it happen all the time.
Yeah.
So get through the strength work. So yeah, like I said, always try and do less volume but high quality. And then you're going to do some kind of conditioning as well. So conditioning, generally, I want to try and keep it light loads. And, you could do intervals. So I like work rest. You can do continuous movement. If it's continuous movement, say if it's 20 minutes straight, I'll generally pick exercises which don't break down very easily. So if I pick more complex movements like pull-ups or handstands or kettlebell snatches, they break down a lot more under fatigue.
Yeah.
So if it's a longer workout, if they're going to be breathing harder through the whole thing, I might pick like rowing, running, skipping, push-ups, that sort of stuff. Just because obviously if you add intensity, you add in fatigue, your chances of injury go up dramatically.
Okay.
So that's really what I focus on there in the conditioning. And then of course, we always do a cool down. I always make my cool downs, the people that do it with me, as simple as possible because cool down is the easiest thing to skip. It's like, right, did the workout, it's ready to go.
Get me the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I tell people, the faster you can switch from sympathetic dominant to parasympathetic, so fight or flight, which is a workout, to rest and digest, the faster you make that switch, the quicker and the better you can recover.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't make that switch. So what happens is, especially my morning, like rise and grind sort of clients, they're just go-getters, right? They're they're A-type personalities.
Yeah.
They go, oh man, gotta go. They hit the workout. They run straight in the car. Their heart rate is fucking pounding. Yeah, right? Yeah. They go into traffic. Their heart rate's still pounding. Their phone's going off. They're on a call. They run to the desk. They go into a meeting. Right. The next thing they drink is coffee. And they just have never hit that point where they've switched to parasympathetic.
Yeah.
So their body... Your body doesn't know if it's in a workout. It just knows stress, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So their body just thinks, man, I'm in a long-ass fucking workout today, you know? I'm just stressed the whole time.
Yeah.
Different hormones are elevated. Adrenal glands are still pumping. So you got this really, really sympathetic, you know, fight or flight response all day. It's not really till they get home that they kind of start to switch off a bit.
Yeah.
But then they wonder why they get injured. They wonder why they can't sleep. They wonder why, like, they're not... Their body composition isn't changing. It's like, man, because... Rest, digest is when you repair muscles, you grow muscles, you burn body fat,
yeah,
right? You sleep better, your tissues heal up. If you never hit that state, you're in a lot of trouble, man.
Yeah, a lot of inflammation, high cortisol,
yeah,
all that type of stuff.
You have those clients as well, right?
Oh, 100%. And yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, I can be there from 6 to 7, but I've got to be at work at 7:30. So, or they're in the shower and they're straight out. And like you said, the day kind of then takes control. Like, they start their day in control, and then quickly the day takes control of them. And it's a never-ending cycle. And this is something I've been talking a lot about with some of my online clients lately, about how much of an impact cortisol levels plays on their results. And, you know, you've got people that are so stressed and they're wondering why they're not losing body fat. When they know, like, you know, they know that they need to be eating in the deficit, they need to be eating enough protein, getting enough nutrient-dense foods, training a certain way, and they know they're doing it, but they're not seeing results because they're so stressed. And then all of a sudden, and this is such a common theme for most people probably listening, then all of a sudden they're questioning whether what they're doing is right, whether they need to make changes, or worrying about the number on the scales, and that just amplifies it even worse. So, fuck, if you really, really want to see results, and I've just completely taken you away from what you're talking about, but if you want to see results and if you want your recovery to be a lot quicker and more efficient, then chill the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah, down regulate.
Yeah, as hard as it can be, like... Sometimes that is the best, well, most of the time.
Yeah.
That's going to be your best friend, is to be able to keep your stress levels as low as possible and just let your body do its thing.
Have you had Patrick McEwen on the podcast?
I haven't, no.
Oxygen Advantage. So I would say he is the leading guy on breath work and I'm like blood chemistry and oxygen and down regulation and stuff. Like, way better than Wim Hof.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Way better than Wim Hof. I'm not saying Wim Hof is bad. I'm just saying this guy's like a whole level above him.
Okay.
And he actually does a really good breakdown on my show with him about Wim Hof stuff.
Okay.
Because I'm asking him, like, how can this guy, you know, take an immune response to a virus and get rid of it and stuff. And so he explains how that happens and it's different to Wim's explanation of it.
Okay.
Wim's explaining what he thinks is happening.
Yeah.
And
this guy's explaining, like, the actual science behind it. Yeah. Stuff,
this is what is actually happening. So he's not discrediting it. He's just saying his explanation of what's actually happening is wrong. Anyway, so people listening, they can do a really good one. And I think Pat has it on his TED Talk. You can listen to it.
Check it out, yeah.
And it's... what you do is... a lot of people, he says, to try and de-stress, they try and take a really deep breath.
Yeah.
Try and relax. And he goes, that is not how to down-regulate. What you need to do... to downregulate is actually really short, small breaths, only through your nose. So you have your tongue resting on the top of your mouth and you focus on taking just really small in and out breaths, and you will feel slightly out of breath. That's how you should feel the whole time, slightly out of breath. And you do that to a point, usually takes somewhere between 2 to 5 minutes, that the sign that you're doing it correctly is that your mouth starts to salivate a lot. When your mouth starts to salivate a lot, you've now switched over to parasympathetic, or more parasympathetic dominant. And so breath work to downregulate should be really light, short, sharp breaths. So that's kind of how he gets, well, that is the science shows of how people downregulate. Now, if you mouth breathe throughout the day, that's a really early warning sign that you have super high stress or that you've got some kind of breathing mechanics issues. The structures in your mouth are made for speaking and swallowing food. They're not made for breathing. You technically really shouldn't breathe much at all out of your mouth. So in your nasal cavity, there's nitric oxide. If there's no nitric oxide in your throat. So if you constantly breathe through your mouth, you never bring nitric oxide down into your body, into your blood chemistry. And without NO, you got like high blood pressure, you got like more sympathetic dominant, higher adrenal function, which you don't want. So people listening to this, if they're mouth breathers, like they're basically doomed to be stuck in like a sympathetic state.
Yeah. Give it a try, guys.
Yeah. Short.
I've been doing it for the last 30 seconds. That's probably why I look like absolute mute. I've been staring at the wall just fucking with the tongue on top of the room.
Yeah, you should feel slightly out of breath. Slightly out of breath the whole time. Like that little bit panicky, that's the perfect point to be at.
Yeah.
And that's you entering. And then after that, you can go back to
regular
breathing.
Yeah.
That's how you bring on
regulating.
But not with the deep breath.
Not with the deep breath. Yeah. That's very interesting.
That's interesting. He's a good guy. Knows
his shit. Sounds like I might have to try and get him on the show.
Yes, definitely getting on the show. He's going to be in Sydney in about 2 weeks.
All right, cool. Yeah, we'll try and sort that out.
Yeah, you won't
probably off the podcast.
Yeah, I'll connect you guys later.
Yeah, cool. These guys,
let's do it all right now.
These guys probably don't give a flying fuck. But anyway, well, Lockie, I reckon we've covered a fair bit. I reckon that's been good. And guys, hopefully today's episode has given you a better idea about one, what CrossFit's about, where it all started, what you can expect. Kind of, I guess, debunk some of the myths or misconceptions you may have had. And some of you may still feel exactly the same way about CrossFit. That's fine as well. Fuck, in the end of the day, like, not every style of training is for everybody.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. There's certain styles of training that I know work, but I will just never do it because I just don't enjoy it. And what was that?
Like Zumba.
No, I love that shit.
Oh, okay,
yeah, yeah. But in the end of the day, guys, like, if it's not something that's not going to be enjoyable for you and you're not going to stick to, and that's just not sustainable. So, something can always be the most, you know, quote unquote, optimal approach on paper. But if you don't enjoy it and you're not going to stick to it, it's not the optimal approach. So, you know, if you've tried CrossFit before and you enjoy it, fuck yeah, keep going. If you've never tried it and you want to try it, then maybe today's episode has given you a bit of that kind of encouragement you need to go and give it a go, or at least you now know what to expect. But guys, we appreciate you tuning in today. And Lockie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks,
man.
For having me, bro.
It's been enjoyable.
Thanks for putting me up. Appreciate it.
Oh,
showing me the Melbourne life.
My pleasure, brother. My pleasure. Guys, I'll have the link to all of Lockie's social media and the Mind Muscle Project podcast in the show notes. I'll also have the link to my episodes, so you can go and have a listen to that. I think we covered like a fair bit of good shit
in that episode. It was fitness industry scene in general. It was really
a bit of social
chat.
Media and stuff. It was really fun. So again, thanks so much for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, make sure you hit that button and subscribe. If you've enjoyed today's episode, which I am certain that you would have, please do take a screenshot of the episode and within the next 30 seconds post it up on your Instagram story for me. Tag myself, tag Lockie. We'd love to get some feedback, and I'm sure we'll do another episode in the near future. Today was just one very straightforward topic of CrossFit. There's a million things we could talk about. So yeah, we'll have him on again soon, but hope you're having a fantastic day, and I look forward to chatting to you again in next week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. Peace.